Alina Haba may not be representing Donald Trump in his hush money criminal trial, but that doesn't mean that she isn't out there defending him in the media. And this week, she not only went out there in the media and defended him while also repeating the lies that he is telling, but she also offered one of the dumbest criminal defenses that I think I've ever heard. Here's what happened. Alina Haba Monday evening went on Sean Hannity's program on Fox News, where she tried to just dismiss all the charges against Donald Trump by saying he couldn't have done all of these things, you know, like phony up the books, because he was in Washington, D.C. Here's what she said. Let's not forget something here, Sean. President Trump was in Washington when this is happening. When somebody made a notation in an accounting record at Trump Organization, he was in Washington taking care of this country. Case closed, because there is no way that a person in Washington, D.C. could direct another person in New York City. That is just crazy to think that somehow a person in a different location could tell somebody in another location what to do. Huh. The technology simply does not exist, Alina Haba would have you believe. No, it's not like Donald Trump isn't famously on his phone 24/7. Oh, God, no. That couldn't have happened. Not to mention the fact that, no, he wasn't. Like, forget for a moment that Alina Haba doesn't seem to understand that phone calls and emails and Zoom and all that exist, okay? The most important part of her fact is that it's not even true, because no, he wasn't. When a lot of this took place, Alina, he wasn't even elected president yet. This began in September, October of 2016. And I don't know if you know this, Alina, but that election was actually in November of 2016. And October and September, they come before November on a calendar. I suggest you invest in one. I'd say look it up on your phone, but clearly you don't know phones exist. So, you know, I'm not going to tell you to do that. You can go buy a nice little calendar. Some of them have pictures of kitty cats on them. And it'll help you figure out which month comes before which month. And then, of course, if you want to argue that some of the falsification of the records actually took place after he was elected president, well, guess what? He wasn't in D.C. then either, because as we all know, Donald Trump very famously was holding meetings in Trump Tower in what city? That's right, New York City, Alina, where the alleged crimes took place. I mean, he was having people come up. He was having potential cabinet members come up to his suite at Trump Tower. All of that was happening in New York while the fraud was happening with the books. So you're wrong on multiple levels, and that is just astounding, folks. Like, it's one thing to be wrong. It's another to be wrong twice in your own lie. But don't worry, that's not the only lie that she told. She also spread the false assertion, which has been making its way across Fox News these last 2 days, that the judge is preventing Donald Trump from attending Barron Trump's high school graduation, which is not the case. In fact, the judge actually said, I'm not going to make that determination yet. We'll see where we are, because the judge is like, we may be done by then. So I'm not going to issue a decision on a date in late May, when we may already be done, and, you know, we'll address it when we get there, but he's going to let him go to his son's graduation. That's a given. But Alina Haba spread that lie that the judge said, no, you cannot go, because Trump's out there spreading that lie, and the rest of Fox News is as well. But here's the thing, folks. This is where Alina Haba makes her money. She's not being paid. She's not being kept on because she is a brilliant legal mind. God, no. Trump keeps her around because she is one of the only people willing to go out there in the media and say something so incredibly stupid and false when the rest of his people are like, listen, I'll defend you, but I draw the line at, you know, bending reality to your whim. Alina Haba doesn't draw a line anywhere. She'll say whatever Trump wants her to say. And that is why he keeps her around. It doesn't matter that she gets skewered online by this. It doesn't matter that all the legal scholars had to come out and point out how wrong she is about it. She'll continue to do it because that is what she is being paid to do. You know things are going super well for you in court when on the very first day of your criminal trial, the judge has to remind you that he has the authority to throw you in jail and that he will use that authority if you piss him off enough. And that is exactly what happened to Donald Trump on Monday when Judge Juan Merchan had to remind him that, hey, here's our trial schedule. You're not getting out of it. You're going to show up here every single day. And if you don't, I'm going to have you arrested, and then we're just going to continue the trial without you, which is an indication that Trump would not only be arrested, he would be sitting in jail as the trial proceeds. Here's what the judge said. If you do not show up, there will be an arrest. If you deliberately fail to appear in court when required, then any proceeding in your case, including hearing, trial, and if you are convicted, sentence, can and will continue in your absence. A warrant for your arrest will be issued, and you will be subject to separate prosecution and separate punishment for bail jumping, no matter what happens in this case. If you deliberately refuse to come to court when required, or in any way deliberately obstruct or interfere with the effort to bring you to court, then any proceeding in your case, including hearing, trial, and if you are convicted, sentence, will continue in your absence. So, those are kind of standard instructions that a judge is going to give to a defendant in a criminal trial. But there's a lot of context in what the judge said here. Obviously, we will arrest you, but we'll charge you too. Okay? It's not just, we will arrest you, I will put you in jail, and then we'll continue the trial while you're sitting in a jail cell. The bail jumping thing, that would be a separate criminal charge that Donald Trump would then be hit with and then have to go to trial for that. So the judge is already making it clear, like, listen, dude, if I get to do another trial with you, I'll do it. I'm not playing around. And according to all the reports I've seen, Judge Merchan is, of course, kind of a no-nonsense guy. Like, he just wants, let's get to the facts, let's get this done, follow my rules, it is my courtroom, I have authorities, and I will use them if I need to. Except, of course, when it comes to enforcing the gag order, he does seem a little lax on that. But here's the fun part. This isn't just the judge sending a warning to Donald Trump. What this is the judge destroying one of the things that Donald Trump could bring up upon appeal. Now, as we all know, Donald Trump in his previous civil trials, right, the fraud trial and the E. Jean Carroll trial, he kind of came and went as he pleased. Like, if I feel like showing up today, I'll show up. If I don't, I don't. And there was no problem with that. This judge is saying, you can't do that here. And here's why. This is a criminal trial, not a civil trial. So the difference is Donald Trump is being accused of a crime. And that is important. I'm getting there. Because his constitutional rights tell him that he has the right to face his accuser, which means face your accuser in court. If Donald Trump does not show up to court, then if he is convicted later on, he could appeal the sentence and say, well, listen, I wasn't in the courtroom. I was denied, even though I voluntarily gave up, my constitutional rights to face my accuser, the state. The judge is already out there nullifying that, saying, you have now been warned. If you do not show up, we will proceed without you because you are voluntarily giving up those constitutional rights. That's what this message is about. And that is something, by the way, that I have not seen any other, you know, kind of legal mind point out to people. But this judge is actually doing his due diligence on everything except the gag order, because he's trying to already undermine any appeal that Donald Trump may have. That's what this warning is about. And Trump's not happy about it. He's already lying about it. So we'll see if he takes it seriously enough to show up in court every day. MyPillow CEO Mike Lindell has long maintained that the United States Supreme Court is going to bail him out of all of his troubles, right? We have heard him say that repeatedly, as recently, remember, as a couple weeks ago, when he went to the Supreme Court and then he Well, he was going to go to the Supreme Court, but they decided not to go to the Supreme Court. So he just had his lawyers deliver this new pack of evidence that would overturn the 2020 election results. In some of the other instances that Mike Lindell has talked about with all of this, the Supreme Court's going to rule 9-0 and overturn all of this. They're going to vindicate me. Well, this week, the United States Supreme Court sent a very clear message to Mike Lindell, and that message was, please leave us alone. Here's what happened. And for the record, this decision by the Supreme Court handed down against Mike Lindell this week was not about any of the lawsuits he has filed or any of his attempts to overturn the 2020 election. Well, kind of it was about that. Because as we all remember, a year and a half ago, Mike Lindell's in a drive-thru at a Hardee's in Minnesota. And as he's in the drive-thru, FBI agents come up to him. You know, he's just trying to get his thick burger. And they're like, hey, we have a warrant. So sorry, hope your fries don't get cold, but we have to confiscate your electronic devices. So the FBI took his stuff as part of an ongoing criminal investigation into Tina Peters in Colorado, who Tina Peters has obviously worked very closely with Mike Lindell. And she had published, you know, through her work in the voting offices, she had published information from the voting machines online, which is like super illegal. Allegedly, she did that. I will say she has not been convicted, so it's allegedly. So as part of the investigation, Lindell had his cell phone seized among some other devices. So year and a half later, after getting rejected by the lower courts time and time again, saying, no, your constitutional rights were not violated. Law enforcement does have the authority to do this. The Supreme Court this week told Mike Lindell, we're not taking your case. We're not going to look at it. We're not going to do anything with it. The decision of the lower court stands. And, of course, the lower court's decision was, quote, Lindell's irritation as to where and how the government took possession of his cell phone does not give rise to a constitutional claim, let alone a showing of a callous disregard for his constitutional rights. Now, that is literally from the decision of the lower court that is now law of the land for Mike Lindell. Nothing he can do to get his cell phone back. But I love that they pointed out like his irritation as to where and how the government took possession. So in his challenge, Mike Lindell legitimately argued like, well, it's not fair. They took it at Hardee's. Oh, OK. Well, then your constitutional rights were, in fact, violated. Everybody knows that Hardee's is what? A sanctuary? You can't be arrested if you're at a Hardee's. The police can't execute a search warrant if you're at a Hardee's. Like, if they had done it on the street, if it was at the McDonald's, then yeah, my constitutional rights weren't violated. But because it was a Hardee's, I can't even wrap my head around this. Because what's so funny to me about it is that real life lawyers had to write this. Lindell himself didn't write it. So there were real life lawyers who had to file this challenge in the courts and like, well, because it was at Hardee's, you know, that's amnesty, I guess. Who are these lawyers? I want to know who they are. I want to know their names. I want to know where they went to law school. I need more information about these people because this is the dumbest argument I have ever heard, which, of course, is why the United States Supreme Court decided we're not even going to touch it because that's how stupid this is. Well, folks, it is Wednesday, which means Donald Trump is not in trial today. The trial schedule is Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. They get Wednesdays off. So Donald Trump can go out, have fun today if he chooses, maybe do a campaign rally or two. But tomorrow he'll be right back in court. But his criminal trial, as we all know, is officially underway now. We got the jury selection. We're about to head into the meat of this thing. And that's what kind of creates a problem for Donald Trump. You see, in all the other trials that Donald Trump has so far had, whether it's the New York fraud trial or the multiple E. Jean Carroll trials that he's faced, he has a real bad habit of throwing temper tantrums in the courtroom. And during those temper tantrums, he will, of course, you know, say things that he shouldn't be saying. He will speak out of turn. And in all of these cases, he has, of course, been admonished by the judge. Like, he's pissed off the judge with his outbursts. So, as this criminal trial really gets underway, a report from the New York Times suggests that Trump's lawyers have, quote, repeatedly told him, don't throw any temper tantrums in court, please. This is a criminal trial, not a civil trial. This judge can throw you in jail if he wants to. The jury that holds your fate in their hands, they don't want to see a crazy guy jumping up and yelling and shouting all the time. So please don't do anything that's going to either piss off the judge or piss off the jury. So far, Trump has not done that. I mean, we've only had 2 days, so anything is possible as we head into this probably 6 to 8 week trial. So, given Trump's behavior in the past and his lawyer's inability to control him, I think it's likely that at some point Trump is going to lose his cool and he's going to do something he ought not do in court. And if he doesn't do it in court, he's probably going to do it on social media in violation of the gag order against him. But at this point, I think it's pretty clear he's not going to get in trouble for violating the gag order. So he'll go that route most likely if he can control himself. And that's the hardest thing for Trump. But the irony of this story, of course, is that Trump's lawyers are out there like, don't screw up, don't have a temper tantrum, don't yell out of turn. And on the first day of the trial, do you know what happened? Trump's lawyer got in trouble with the judge for yelling in the courtroom and speaking out of turn. So it's hilarious to think that his lawyer, Todd Blanche, is telling him behind the scenes, like, hey, listen, man, we got to mind our P's and Q's here. We got to be on our best behavior. Okay, this is real. This is serious. No outbursts from you. And then Todd Blanche goes in court and does exactly what he just told Donald Trump not to do, to the point where those in the courtroom reporting on it said the judge had to yell at Blanche and tell him to sit. You know, like he was a dog acting up and the judge said, sit. Good boy. But again, it is hilarious. You know, for anybody that has kids, that has raised kids, that may currently be dealing with, younger kids between the ages like 4 and 7, this speech that Trump's lawyer gave him is basically what you tell your kids, like when you're going out to a nicer restaurant, like, hey, listen, everybody be on your best behavior. Okay. We know it's boring. We know you don't want to be here. You know, you want to play on our phone, but you can't do that. And you can't whine and cry while we're here. Now, if you're good, maybe later we'll take you out for a milkshake or something, maybe get some ice cream. But if you misbehave, none of that, okay? So you be good. That is the speech that Trump's lawyer basically had to give him. Because we are dealing with like a giant man toddler. He can't control himself. He gets bored. Sometimes he just falls asleep. But this is what we're dealing with Donald Trump, not just with regard to the trials, but that is who Republicans want to make the next president of the United States. I think maybe we can do a little bit better than somebody who at 77 years old still has to be told to behave and to respect other people. Listening to today's Fair and Balanced Daily. Stay up to date with all of our content by finding us on YouTube at youtube.com/fairandbalanced and follow me on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Fair and Balanced.